Union men and women, Michael, Guy, friends, welcome to the third International Congress of the ITUC. We are the largest global democratic force on earth. With nearly 180 million members, we stand as representatives of working people all over the world. We share a commitment to a set of values enshrined in our constitution: peace, democracy, rights, the dignity of work, and social justice. We fight together for workers' rights everywhere. We abhor the attacks by too many governments on fundamental rights and the wages and the social protection of their people. Governments who are cowed by the big business and the big finance gurus. We are the voice of opposition, and we are the voice of progress. Corporate power stands for the profits of the 1%. Their tools are inequality, precarious work, and supply chain exploitation. We are the opposition who stand on the front lines to defend democracy and justice, to defend rights, and we are the movement that will fight every time for justice. We know who we stand with. We stand with the world's 2.9 billion working people. 60% of the working people of the world are employed in the formal sector, where workers are increasingly facing precarious employment arrangements. And 40% are in the informal sector, the sector of desperation, and there are no rights, no minimum wages, no social protection. They're ours too. Christina, our sister from Spain, says it all. There is a feeling of hopelessness. People are afraid. If you can't bargain, you can't get a decent wage. Well, we want full employment and decent work for everybody. That's simply non-negotiable. We'll organise for just that. For jobs, for collective bargaining, for minimum wages on which you can live, and for universal social protection. And we know that working people, we know that the world's people respect the role of unions. The ITUC Global Poll found that 63% of people think workplaces with unions have better wages, conditions, and safety. We know people have lost trust in their governments. There is not a single country where a majority believes that the economic system is fair to working people. We know what the world's people want, even if our governments don't. 87% and more favour their government providing workers with unemployment benefits, decent retirement incomes, maternity protection, affordable access to health, education, and, of course, pensions. Organising. Organising is our strength. Organising in the informal sector, organising migrant and domestic workers, women and young workers. With the Global Unions Federations, we are building campaigns against exploitative companies, and we are organising against slavery, beginning with Qatar. Brothers and sisters, we've come through 4 years of turmoil. When we met in Vancouver, we actually were optimistic. But the Great Recession, born in America from the greed of big finance, it's now a bitter crisis of unemployment. We were optimistic in Vancouver. We were optimistic of recovery. But in their desperation to appease the bond markets and the ratings agencies and the Troika with the IMF, the European Commission and the Central Bank, governments went to war on their own people, slashing collective bargaining rights, minimum wages, social protection, government services and jobs. They embraced austerity. It failed. We said it would fail, and it did fail. Georgia, a young woman from Greece, understood all too well. She said to me, "The IMF have ruined my life. I will never forgive what they did to me, to my mother. My mother's pension was slashed. She can't live, and I can't help her." We know the global wage slump continues. We know that Romania and Portugal are just two examples where the IMF demanded the government smash collective bargaining by more than two-thirds. Yet the IMF's own research is flawed. The IMF admitted they underestimated the negative impact of their measures, but we've seen no recognition that these policies, based on flawed data, will be changed. Inequality is growing, with the majority of the world's poor now in middle-income countries. And while inequality is finally being recognised as a macroeconomic issue, the very tools of distribution, collective bargaining, minimum wages and social protection, our tools, remain on the structural reform hit list of the international institutions, of big business and the governments they command. We're very proud of our Frontlines publication. They show the devastation of the crisis on the lives of working people. They show empirical evidence that demonstrates that collective bargaining works and that minimum living wages and social protection are fundamental for reducing poverty and inequality. Trend data from our global poll over 3 years shows that the world's population for each of those 3 years, more than half of them have not been able to save a euro, a dollar, a unit of currency. For 82% of the world's people, their wages are stagnating or not keeping pace with living costs. With just over 3% global growth, there is no way that we will see relief in the bitter crisis of unemployment. The G20 will fail again if they don't invest in jobs, jobs in infrastructure, in the green economy and in the care sector, in health, education, childcare, aged care and other vital services. Investment in jobs, wages and universal social protection, not just in developed countries, but in all countries. There is no other recipe for economic and social stability. And we demand an economic agenda for women. The progress for women has stalled. The employment of women is the fastest way to drive growth and productivity. If women were in the workforce in equal numbers to men, we would see GDP increase remarkably. 4% in France, 8% in Japan, 34% in Egypt. And the jobs needed in the care economy to support women's participation add simply more jobs to the mix. So count us in. This is the ITUC campaign. Count us in marks our determination to support women's rights and equality. How many of you have already signed up to the Count Us In campaign? Let me see your hands. Come on, be proud of it. And by the end of the week, let's hope all of you have signed up. The message, my brothers and sisters from women, is clear. Count us into the workforce, count us into unions, and count us into leadership. Atuk is a working woman from Indonesia, and she says it very clearly. Our money, our wages are not enough to survive. Companies should respect women workers and pay a living wage. We are helping them make their profits. So our advocacy for full employment demands that the post-2015 UN Sustainability Development Goals must include employment and decent work, along with universal social protection floors as standalone goals. Please demand of your governments that they do not settle for less. Let's challenge them, publicise their commitments and get those goals up. We also support a goal for gender equality and for free universal quality education, along with the commitments necessary for affordable healthcare, sanitation, food, water and energy security. Well, brothers and sisters, Reiner already said it, and thank you for that great welcome, Reiner. But we can only express pride and solidarity in the liberation struggles in the Arab world. The ongoing struggle for peace, for democracy and rights has our full support, and we stand in awe of the courage of our colleagues. The images of people taking to the streets against dictatorships, beginning in Tunisia, rocked the world. The role of the UGTT is now dedicated to securing their constitution, a constitution that enshrines rights, a constitution that stands tall amongst all others and inspires every one of us. It is fitting, Brother Abbasi, that for this the UGTT has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, and you have our unanimous support. Let's show him. But we also support a new ITUC Arab sub-regional structure. You will vote on this week. A structure that will give collective voice to unions fighting against state oppression of workers and for independent trade unionism, our banner. A structure that will work with both Africa and Asia. Michael Sommer and other leaders have visited Palestine with me and witnessed firsthand the suffering of that land. The photo of these boys returning to their bombed-out school on the visit we made to Gaza with the colleagues from the PGFTU and the region demonstrates the senseless cruelty. The occupation of Palestine and the settlements in the West Bank must end. Palestine. Palestine must be recognised as an independent state in line with our two-state policy. We will not give up. I promise you, Brother Shahir, we will not give up. But we are also witnessing the breakdown in democracy and rights in countries like Turkey, Bangladesh, South Sudan, Korea, many more, the escalation of the Central African Confederation and, of course, the Ukraine and more. But let me acknowledge the atrocity of the deaths in Turkey. For those miners, for their families, we feel justifiably angry. We feel angry at the lack of regulation, at the lack of protection. But we feel angry at the arrogance of the Turkish Prime Minister and of the use of water cannons against our grieving brothers and sisters. Indeed, we feel angry that our brother Kani Beko is indeed, the president of DISC, is indeed in hospital as a result. This is shameful, and as a tribute, I raise the helmet of one of the miners in Somo. It is 100 years since World War I. Michael Sommer reminded the DGB Congress, never again war, never again fascism. Peace and democracy must always remain a focus for the ITUC. And I must say, I have to commend our brother Koga and Rengo. They never let us forget. They always drive this agenda with many of the rest of you, but I pay tribute to them today. There is also persistent state oppression against strikes and political protest in many nations. It is unspeakable, an unspeakable crime, that in countries like Guatemala, Colombia, and the Philippines, they still shoot trade unionists with impunity. We will continue to work with all of you to see that impunity is eradicated and murderers are prosecuted. Then we see countries like Cambodia, where the employers' attack on the right to strike in the ILO through the Committee on Application of Standards has been taken to the front lines in the struggle for a minimum wage, where striking workers are shot and jailed, and where police and military action are sanctioned by governments and supported by local employers. We have seen similar oppression in Indonesia, Bangladesh, Haiti, many other countries. We cannot and we will not stand silent while workers are impoverished through the supply chains of big business and attacked by their own governments. I hope we will have your support to take on this abusive corporate power and fight for minimum wage fixing mechanisms in their countries. When a pair of jeans, as Reiner said, when a pair of jeans, the retailer receives 64% of the price and production workers 2%, this is pure greed. Our own ITUC poll tells us 94% of people want to strengthen international rules to make companies around the world provide better wages and living conditions. They're pretty good odds for us to organise around. A minimum living wage and social protection floors are the foundations of dignity and decent work. Germany is about to see a minimum wage realised, and we congratulate them. But we commiserate with the Swiss people who were too frightened to vote for one just this week. Together, we can and we must win this fight everywhere. We also have to continue the fight with the World Bank and its Doing Business report. The index is nothing short of a big business scam to get countries to impose neoliberalism on themselves. Doing business is best, they say, where employment protections and rights are weak. Doing business in this context is a crime against humanity. Yet the World Bank, the IMF, even sections of the UN defend and promote it. We thought we fatally wounded the Employing Workers Index, where freedom of association and collective bargaining are a tick against a country. But they want to bring it back, and we aim to fight fire with fire. The ITUC has the most comprehensive database of both the lack of legal rights and rights violations in our survey. Today, I launch a new index. The index is the ITUC Global Rights Index, the worst places in the world for workers. These global hotspots where workers' rights are absent or not respected, it's based on exhaustive methodology. There is a new global leaderboard now in the race to protect workers' rights. Where not to work is the counterpoint to the advocacy of big business to destroy the rights of workers. It is also a backbone for the global solidarity that our Countries at Risk program represents. But employers have stepped up their anti-union attacks. The drive to export the American corporate model is global. The attacks on the European social model are deliberate, well-planned, and well-resourced. Like the IMF, the American Chamber of Commerce issues their policy prescriptions everywhere, and they use the threat of capital flight on governments. From opposition to the minimum wage in Moldova, to the opposition of collective bargaining in Romania, or a demand for reductions, systematic reduction of wages in Belgium. Even in Qatar, they issued a statement saying that workplace deaths and injuries would not happen if workers took more responsibility. On May Day this year, we decided to name and shame some of the worst of this club of employers. Put your hands up if you've voted for the worst boss in the world yet. Yes, look at those hands. Come on. If you haven't, go onto the website and vote, because we'll tell you who's going to win on Wednesday. You can see the CEO of Qatari Airlines has not shared his photo with us. Indeed, we know him as Mr. X. He threatened to sue the ITUC for exposing his attacks on unions and his defence of slavery. But he can't sue all of you. So get your vote in. It's a tough choice amongst this rogues gallery, but time's running out. I must say, though, seriously, their bullying knows no bounds. Take a look at what happened in the basement of a New York call centre.
Can I see you in the basement?
So, you want to form a union? You know, you don't really need one. A union. They're for laborers. Painters, carpenters. You know.
People who work hard.
I mean, we have a great HR department where we'll fix things.
Why don't you give me some time to make the changes you want? I can make things happier.
Why would you give your rights to the union when you can negotiate with us?
If you join the union, we won't be able to do one-on-ones like this. We don't need a union to come between us.
Make sure to make the right decision and vote no to the union.
Yeah. Make sure.
We do expect better. The law expects better. This is a German company, Deutsche Telekom's T-Mobile, a German company that bargains here with Verdi but uses fear and intimidation to keep their workplaces union-free in the US and other places. Verdi and the Communication Workers of America have a global union called T-Union. It's unique. The Verdi solidarity for American workers and their members is extraordinary. Verdi, CWA, German and American delegates, stand up. This is an amazing moment where we celebrate global solidarity on a campaign you will win. We have a message for Deutsche Telekom. We do expect better, and we don't give up. Colleagues, the threat to jobs and livelihoods includes the threat of climate change. For unions, it is simple. There are no jobs on a dead planet. Despite our success in being recognised as a key player by negotiators, despite our success in having a just transition guaranteed in the draft global agreement, and despite the adoption of the first ever conclusions guide on the world of work and environment in the ILO, which provides a tripartite agreement on just transition, governments have failed us. We watch governments fail the planet and their people in Copenhagen, and the same corporate interests want to see failure in Paris. Well, we must mobilise to Paris. We must mobilise for a global agreement, and we must demand industrial transformation with the funding for a just transition for vulnerable nations and for communities. And there are jobs, jobs and jobs. We did the research. 48 million new jobs in just 12 countries if they invest in green economy measures. You only have to look here in Germany to see the possibility. 400,000 new jobs in renewable energy in just 2.5 years. We are launching a global climate justice sign-up right here at this Congress, and I hope that you'll all be part of that. 6 o'clock tonight, tomorrow night, you'll see some of our leaders take the first step and sign up for mobilisation, for industrial transformation, for us determining the future. But sadly, brothers and sisters, Dorje Kartri, a great climate warrior, has died in a tragic accident on Mount Everest. Dorje was a leader of his Sherpas Union and vice president of GFON. He was alarmed at the impact of climate change on his beloved mountain, and he placed the ITUC flag on the top of Mount Everest to mark his pride in our fight for the climate. He gave me his medal for this climb, and today I dedicate it as a perpetual trophy for the Dorje Kartri Award for Union Action for Climate Justice. We will announce the winner at the Global Congress. So So, brothers and sisters, despite the challenges, we are fighting back and we have victories to celebrate. Throughout the week, you will discuss many union successes, even as you determine the next set of priorities. And here's just a taste. Firstly, Burma, Myanmar. Our brother Mong Mong and his colleagues are back in Burma organising workers after a 24-year struggle in exile. Then domestic workers, a new convention, 125 affiliates campaigning, 15 ratifications, plus the EU support, plus 12 unions, 60,000 new members, 11 new laws, 3 collective agreements, and the jobs of 12 million domestic workers formalised. Union and unions organising social protection in countries like the Dominican Republic. Magnificent. A collective bargaining agreement in an EP set in Togo where they said there were no rights. Thousands of members in the nurses and transport unions in Swaziland, despite the oppressive regime of the monarchy. A million street vendors in India unionised. The informal sector workers taking their place in the executive in Ghana. Mechanics operating legally with union support, so proud of their union in Mali. ITUC mapping of waste pickers and energy workers to support organising campaigns and much more, with standard setting for informal sector workers on the agenda of the ILO this year. A victory in the Inter-Americas Court on human rights, on violations of freedom of association in Chile. And the new president, Michelle Bachelet, has already announced plans to prohibit the use of replacement workers during strikes. ITF and Uni taking on DHL, winning in Turkey against the company's yellow union strategy and using the OECD guidelines to secure social dialogue with DHL at the global level. Industrial and Uni securing the accord in Bangladesh and supply chains on the agenda at the ILO for 2016. Plaido, the development platform for the Americas, tax justice, an FTT in Europe, and the G20 to stop base erosion and profit-shifting behaviour of the corporations. Pay tax where it is earned. The G20 endorsement of long-term investment principles. Our committee, Workers' Capital's committee, working to get our pension investments out of the speculative economy and into the real economy where there are jobs. These are just a snapshot of victories that you will talk about all week. We are very proud of this union movement, and let me finish with the courage of the leaders in the Americas to support Auto Reforma, an internal program designed to reduce fragmentation and promote union unity. There is much more. Give yourselves a big hand. And then there is Qatar. Thank you, all of you, for your support in campaigning to end slavery. Qatar, the richest nation on earth, is a slave state. When a desperate worker leaves an Asian or an African nation, they've already been forced to pay illegal fees they can't afford. They arrive in Qatar more often than not to find their contracts torn up and they are in a different job with far less money. They are forced to live in squalor with poor food, work 8, 10, 12 hours a day, 6, sometimes 7 days a week in extreme heat. When they are desperate to leave, they find themselves trapped in Qatar. Workers owned and at the mercy of another human being. It's 21st century slavery, the kafala system. With no rights, more than 4,000 workers conservatively could die before a ball is kicked in the World 2022 Cup. With the BWI and many of you, we say to FIFA, no World Cup in Qatar without workers' rights. And I thank Michael Sommer for his work with FIFA, because he has split their executive. Well, brother and sisters, the Vienna Congress, it marked the birth of the ITC and a determination to build a new internationalism. The Vancouver Congress saw a stronger global union movement, map out a broad and comprehensive policy priority, a set of priorities that we will reaffirm this week. And we've worked to develop a strategic planning framework to manage your demands, framed by the objectives you will discuss and debate this week, the ambitions you all hold for union growth, for sustainable jobs, secure incomes and social protection, for realising rights. We have reformed the ITUC financial system to reflect our work to make financial expenditure transparent. 2010 was a Congress year, and we put decisions into ambitious plans with a sound financial outcome. In 2011, we made the planning progress transparent and engaged affiliates in a more inclusive approach because we published all those plans for you to contribute to. In 2012, we invested in expanding our voice. We created Equal Times. We created the ITUC Global Organising Academy to build our capacity. We developed the Digital Action Section. We redesigned the Countries at Risk strategy, and we took on slavery with our Qatar campaign. In 2013, we've been able to integrate these initiatives, and we've invested the surplus into an earmarked organising fund to start securing the future. I also take this opportunity to thank all the union donors sincerely. Your contribution to the Solidarity Fund, to the Countries at Risk, and much more is true solidarity that lets the work get done. And now, Berlin, you called for a new interactive Congress structure. We have a Congress designed to look at the issues as a basis for action, for organising and union growth, for the research and advocacy that facilitates strategic organising around the issues that will make a difference to the lives of working people, their jobs, their incomes, their social protection, and, of course, their rights. All our minutes, plans, activities and financial reports you will find on the website. So, in conclusion, the system is simply stacked against workers. Two-thirds of people think that government should do more to tame corporate power. We can be proud of being the largest global movement on the planet, but we must do more. We are only 7% organised. And while with collective bargaining we secure wages and conditions for 9% of workers, we can do better. We must invest in union growth if we are to seriously take on the challenge to build workers' power. With affiliates and GUFs, we are committed to this challenge in both the formal and the informal sectors of the economy. Through the ITC Global Academy, we are training lead organisers in every region. Our regional secretaries have posted reports. They will lead the Congress live discussions with an overview of their successes and challenges. Let me thank the regional secretaries for their stewardship. And, of course, none of this is possible without a team. So can I record my gratitude to the President, an amazing President, Michael Sommer, and the Deputy Presidents, the Deputy Secretaries, and our dedicated staff. They are the best. So can we do it? Can we build workers' power, increase our collective bargaining strength, and grow the movement with another 20 million members by the time we come back, not here, but somewhere in 2018? Can we organise more than 20 million members additional? Come on, let me hear it. Can we? Is this an ambition we can deliver? Yes. Yes, we can. Workers' power, the power of collective voice, the power of the collective vote. We can take back our democracies, our workplaces and our rights. People want a more activist approach from their governments and have called for international action. Well, we have political power too. If we mobilise it, 42% of the world's people will vote just this year. If we're organised and we're united, we can change the world, even at the ballot box. So in the absence of progressive governments, we are the voice of opposition. We are the voice of opposition, but we're also the architects and the voice of progress. So this Congress, delegates, is yours to make. It's interactive, it's open, choose the things you're passionate about, have your say about what works, tell us where you've succeeded, help us guide the frameworks for actions for the next 4 years. We can and we will build workers' power. Will we build workers' power?
Yes.
And again, will we?
Yes.
Viva ITUC, viva solidarity.